This morning, we continue our study, the Gospel of Mark, this morning, from Mark chapter 6, starting at verse 27. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. We pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, on this day, this is interesting to study your word, Lord, because, Lord God, what do you do with this? What do you do with a story like this? Lord God, help us in these words, focus, keep our focus where it should be, in your Son, Jesus Christ. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So this morning, how do you go about saying this is the gospel of the Lord? At the end of that, when at the end, who came up with that? Who divided the gospel? And the very last thing you hear right before you're going to give praise to God is they laid him in a tomb. How is that possible? So this morning we're continuing on Gospel of Mark. Picking out one thing from this gospel, the one thing. And so this morning, I just want to ask you what is so special. A couple of people have asked me. I've got a silver platter, and yes, it is a silver platter over there. I borrowed it from my wife, so it is a silver platter. We got it from our wedding, I believe. That's the first time I think it's been out. So once again, we are discovering some of our wedding gifts. And so yesterday I said, well, I need a silver platter. She said, why? Who's going to be on it? And knowing my wife, I had to tiptoe at this subject and just understand, okay, it's going to be, I'm not going to tell you. And plus people are coming up to me this morning saying whose head is underneath there, and you don't want to know, all right? There is a head underneath there. I don't want to give it away, but I want you to have this understanding of what is special about what's underneath. What is so special about one that underneath? And so when we take a look at our gospel reading this morning, I want you to take a look at one thing, all right? We're looking at the story of John the Baptist. This is the story of John the Baptist, and what's happening here is John the Baptist, he's paving the way for Jesus, and he has one message, and that is repent. And when we hear that's really easy for us to say. It's even more difficult to look inside and say, well, who's he talking about? If John the Baptist were here and he was preaching this morning, I look good. The guy wore camel's hair and a belt, and his hair was unkept, his beard was unkept, and he ate the most ridiculous things in the world. Would you receive him? Would you listen to him as he preached the word? Would you want to listen to a guy who told you the plain truth, and that is we were here because we need it? Would you be able to smile this morning that someone would come to you and says the word of God says that all of us need to repent? Or would it be something inside of us that's kind of stirring and say, you know what, enough of this. Could we hear something joyful? Interesting, John would say, you know what, one comes after me that is amazing. I just want to prepare you for that. So what's so special? What's so special about the underneath? And so taking a look at what John had to say, when we take a look at our gospel reading, what did John declare to Herod? This is Herod, not the Herod the Great. This is one of his kids. The problem in Israel at the time of Jesus is Herod has a family tree that looks more like a family shrub. I mean, people are all intermixed. It's not a good family tree. All right, marriages are going all over the place and really weird, and you go to your family reunion to meet your next spouse, quite literally, because back then the royals tried to keep their bloodline in the same family. They don't trust people outside, and so Herod's family is all intertwined here. And interesting, this is not Herod the Great that tried to kill the baby Jesus. This is Herod, his pseudo son. He comes from him, and he is the Herod that Jesus would stand before on that last week when he stands in judgment. Pilate sends him over to this Herod. So it's the same guy, and so he's intrigued about Jesus, and so he walks us back and said, okay, I put this man in prison, and the same thing that this man who I put in prison and beheaded is the same deal that Jesus is saying here. And so he's looking back and said, okay, what got him in trouble is that John the Baptist pointed out that he did not legally was not legally able to marry this woman. And so he points that out to him. And the problem is that gets you in trouble when you speak against the people who are in power. And so when you stick up for God, is that something that you really want to take on? Do you really want to say this is the word of God? Stick up for what's right. And literally say, I don't care what it costs me, because what I'm representing is so important that it's special. It's special. And so I'm going to take a look at this from a standpoint of I need to take a stand. It doesn't matter. And John literally stuck his neck out for the gospel. Because after he says repent, he says, now, there is a way that which I am leading you to, and he leads people into the Jordan. He literally says, okay, take a look at this water. This water is important. It's special, because what I want to give to you is new life. I want you to see when you go away from here, it's the same thing as bathing away your sins. And God wants to do that in your life. He wants you to turn 180 degrees, take a 180 degree turn in your life. And so he was preparing for the gospel when Jesus would come. And so I want you to say, okay, we're intrigued. There are several of you who I know are going to take a stab at trying to unearth what is underneath. I already know that when we're not looking, when we're in the voters' meeting, there will be several people about yay high that will be looking underneath. But I want to get to this question. Is there something even more special in this room in which is revealed? There's a coincidence here this morning that there's a veil on what's important to us for a reason. See, as Lutherans, we look and see that what is important to us is veiled. Just like Moses' face was veiled after he comes and meets with God, it's too much. And then when we look at and see in Jesus' life, his body was veiled. His body was veiled for 3 days. Until God saw it right to say, okay, need to go and preach the good news that death no longer has any power over any human being. And so this morning, we take a look at that too. What's so special? What's so special? It's just simple stuff. And yet, at the same time, I think every one of us knows what's inside there. And we're kind of waiting for that. We're kind of waiting. And in the Lutheran terms, this mystery is revealed when the cloth comes off. And all of a sudden, what's so special to us is something that's handed to us. You don't say, well, what's so special about what's in my hand? What's so special is that God would say, my life is not as important to me as seeing you with me where I'm going. And I want you to know that what is so special here leads you to what is so special up there. You see, there's a veil over our eyes. There's a veil in between here and there. And say, why, Lord? Why won't you let us see? If you would, I would just amazingly just declare it. I would be able to tell all my friends that heaven is for real. He says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And so this morning, we take a look at where's the veil in our life and what is important for us. And really, I'm really wondering, what is it going to cost? What is it going to cost? Because this world says that there's no way that God exists. And if you notice, there's so much about, well, if God is real, then simply point that out. Prove that God exists. Take off the veil. So this morning, we do that. Hopefully this and every morning, we pull off the veil. We open the scriptures, and therein is Christ. There is Christ. What's so special about underneath the veil? It is opening up the veil. Opening up the veil and seeing Christ's own words to us. Lo, I am with you always. Not I am around, I am with you, I am walking with you, I am always there. That is the important thing. People want to say, where? The Lord has, for some weird reason, taken away the temple that is in Jerusalem and says, I want to dwell with my people in the veil here. So what's so special that the Son of God would come to earth to give his life and literally say, take and eat, this is my body. Take and eat, this is my blood. What is so important? What is so special about this? And I would say there's nothing, and yet God would say, open up the veil, open up the scriptures, take off and see. That he does that because there's no merit inside this. But there's merit inside what he has done for me. And when he calls something important, I have to take that on faith. That I cannot do anything myself, and yet I hang on the mystery that is inside, saying whenever he gives that to us, he is saying your sins are forgiven. I have to believe that. I have trouble hearing that. I have trouble saying that. I have trouble saying that because I have to just, if I'm pronouncing it, if I'm just reading back the words, what is so special? What is so special is that the Lord says that to each and every one of us who come to his table. It's his words, not mine. That is difficult for me to hear. It's difficult for me to comprehend at the same time. He doesn't say that you will comprehend everything in life. He's saying, what's special in this life is what I did for you. And so there will be a day in which there will be a veil over my body. And that day will be a celebration of what's so special inside. This child of God who once struggled with the Lord, who once just said, you know what, Lord, I don't want you in all of my life. Yet each and every day of his life went with the Lord. Each and every day, at the very last, when my body is wheeled in and the veil is over my casket, what's so special is what the Lord did for that man. And that whoever is proclaiming at our funerals, he proclaims Christ and not anything I have done. Because what Christ has done for me is what's so special. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we look forward to a day in which, Lord God, we will be with you. Unfortunately, Lord, because of our sin, because of what we have done, Lord God, there is a thing called sin. And sin has led to death, but because of what you have done for us, because of the special work you have done, Lord God, we do not need to fear death. It has lost its sting, and therefore, when we see this lowly body, we can understand that it has been changed to something even greater. Lord God, in this day, help this congregation, Lord, understand that, Lord God, we have a mission. We have an understanding from you, Lord, that you have given us a great message, and that message wasn't a prophet that was sent to, and then, Lord God, his life ended tragically. Lord God, he did exactly what you asked him. Does it matter that he lost his life? No, not one bit, because he lost his life proclaiming who you are. Lord God, there is victory in that. There is a grace, Lord, that we can't comprehend. That it doesn't matter how this life ends. What really matters is who this life was filled with. Lord God, we need a Savior this morning. Each and every day we need a Savior. Lord God, be with us. Lord God, we go away from this place with the sure and certain hope, Lord, that what you have done for us is what's so special. Lord God, we thank you that, Lord God, when we go away from this place, we have heard about your good news of grace. Continue to go with us no matter what. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.